Okay, so we are in the middle of Perek Chaf Gimel, aka chapter 23. And just to summarize what happened so far, so there's this city Keilah, and it comes under attack from the Plishtim. David consults with the Urim Vetumim, with Hashem, if he should go and save them. Hashem says, yes, go and save them. He does that. And I guess word gets out that David is now in Keilah. So Shaul, who wants to kill David, decides to gather his troops, and he's going to come after David in Keilah. And he really, in order to get David, he needs the compliance of the people of Keilah. Well, they hold David so that Shaul can get at him. And David, again, hears somehow that Shaul is coming for him. And he, again, consults the Urim Vetumim. He hears that Shaul might be coming for him. He consults, will Shaul come? And will the people of Keilah hold me? And the answer is yes. And so David leaves Keilah. There is a question that's raised by the Mefarshim, which is that the Gemara tells us that the Urim Vetumim always tells the truth, right? And here the question was, will Shaul come? Will the people trap me? And the answer was yes. And that doesn't end up happening. So it's not, I don't think it's such a hard question. The Mefarshim say, okay, you know, the question was, is he planning on coming? Or if I don't leave, will he come? So that's the way the Mefarshim deal with that question. But
same by saying, just like Hashem is above time, so the perfect term is above time. So.
So even though it never happened, it did? Like what? So that's the question they raise. That's what they say. Okay, we are up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay, so after David receives word that indeed the people will comply with Shaul and try to trap him in Keilah, so Pasuk says Vayakam David Va'anashav Kishesh Meosish, and David and his men, about 600, got up Vayetu Mikeilah. And they left Keilah, and they went where they would go, basically. So what does that mean? Some Farshim take a couple of different directions here. The Targum here says that means they went, you know, the most kosher way to go, which I guess means the best way to go. That's the direction they took. Other Mefarshim learn that the Zamatudas David learns and Radak, that it just means they went whichever way. They didn't really have a planned route. They were just trying to avoid Shaul. They wanted to be unpredictable, so they would just go somewhere in Mikra, and then they would go somewhere else. They would just happen to kind of just wander so that Shaul couldn't find them. And the Malbim understands that Vayishalchu Basher Yishalachu means that they went where they went, meaning they went back and forth to the same places, back and forth, again in order to shake Shaul off their trail, and so that he wouldn't find them. It's interesting, actually, going back to the Targum. So the Targum says it means Basher Yishalachu means in the way that was kosher, which means like in a good way, right? They chose a good approach. That's what he says. So how do you see that in the words Basher Yishalachu? So I was thinking about it. Well, actually, I didn't have to think about it. It just came to my mind that perhaps it relates to something that I saw in the Malbim somewhere else. So there's a famous medrash that when Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the luchos, so Hashem, the pasuk says, it refers to the luchos as haluchos harishonim asher shibarta, that you broke, right? We read that as part of the, it's from Kisisa, we read it on a fast day, so we hear it a lot. Saluchos Harishonim Asher Shibarta. So the Gemara has a famous drush on that. The Gemara says, Yasher Koach Sheshibarta. That Hashem approved of that. Hashem says, Yasher Koach Sheshibarta. You know, good job that you broke it. So I always thought, you know, it's cute. You know, it says Asher Shibarta, and it sounds like Yasher Koach Sheshibarta. Little cute thing, right? But the Malbim actually says, I think he says this in Bechukosai. Because in Bechukosai we have a similar thing. It says in the beginning of Bechukosai, it says, "In Bechukosai teleichu." Wait, am I getting mixed up? Is it Bechukosai? One second. I think it's Bechukosai, where it says, "Asher tishmeu es mitzvos Hashem elokeichem." It says that you shall listen to, instead of saying if you will listen to the mitzvos, it says like that you will listen. And again, it has this word asher. So the Malbim says that the word asher actually relates to the word yashar, straight. And the word asher is used to mean that in a place where it's saying that, and this is the good way. You know, that you will do, asher tishmu, that you will listen, and that will be yashar, that will be a straight way, that will be the way to go, that will be the way to listen. And that's also the idea. Chazal aren't just saying, oh, asher shibarta, yashakach shibarta, you know, it's a cute little connection. But asher implies in the word asher that it's a good thing to do, that it's proper and it's straight and it was the right thing to do. And that's why Chazal are saying that it was, that asher shibarta means Hashem approved of that. So I thought maybe that's the same idea over here. It says Vayisalchu ba'asher yisalachu, and the Targum says it was a kosher way, it was a good way that they went, they chose a good path, that maybe that's coming from the word asher, which in itself implies that it was yashar, it was a good option, a good choice.
So maybe with relying on some sort of Ruach HaKodesh, intuition, this looks like a good way to go.
Right, I don't know what he was relying on, but the pasuk tells us that it was a good way.
I thought about that, and then afterwards I read here, it says, standard verb for wet is probably improved, is the word here is.
Okay, that's interesting. They were led, sort of.
Implying they were objects of some unknown force that moved them. I thought about that, then I.
Right, okay, we have that by Noach. It says, Esalokim Hishalech Noach. So Chazal say that Noach had to be led a little bit, you know, as opposed to Abraham, who was what? Right, Abraham. Can't think of the pasuk right now, but it says he was vayet. What? Right. Besides for that, though, we have another. He was halach. It says, you know, something, but yeah, so it could be right that the words vayisalachu also imply that he was taking.
Yeah,
interesting. Who do they attribute that to? Doesn't say.
Maybe you were back.
Okay.
I actually enjoyed
it. Very good. Well, the Shaul, who got the end of the pasuk, just continuing the pasuk, and Shaul was told, Ki nimlad David mikiila, that David had escaped from Keila, by Yechdal Latzeis, and he stopped going because David had gotten away. So actually, the word nimlat is also, nimlat means to escape, right? It could be that David, he didn't just leave Keilah, he had to escape Keilah. It could be that they were already attempting to hold him there, and he had to, he was certainly escaping Shaul, but was he escaping Keilah? So the implication is yes, that already, just to get away from Keilah, he had to escape. and so Mitsuda, the Mishpatzot Zav says based on this, says the Kuyakar, I think, says it also, you know, remember what happened to the last city that helped David, right? It wasn't really a good ending for them, for Nov. So had Keilah assisted David in any way, or even in his escape, then they could have been in big trouble. And then Shaul would have still come, and Shaul would have taken them down, right? Like he did to Nov. So the Pasuk is telling you, they say, that he had to escape from Keilah. Keilah did try to stop him, and that's why Shaul stopped going. That's why Shaul didn't go. But had Keilah helped David or allowed him to escape on his own, then Shaul may have still gone to Keilah to take care of them the same way he the same you know to kill them just as he did to Nov.
Would imply that at this point he hadn't learned anything.
He hadn't, you know. It was just last week, right? I don't know how long it was, but it wasn't too long ago that he wiped out Nov. Pasuk Yudalid, Vayeshev David Bamidbar Bamitzados, and Shaul dwelled in the Midbar. In the Mitzados, the Mefarshim say that these were very tall stones, sort of like a stone fortress. Vayeshev Bahar Bamidbar Zif, and he dwelled in the mountain in the Midbar of Zif. Vayivakshehu Shaul kol hayamim, and Shaul sought him all the days. V'lo nisano Elokim b'yado, and Hashem did not give him into his hands. The Malbim here learns that he dwelled, he settled in the Midbar and Mitzados, but also Vayeshev Bahar b'Midbar Zif. He also dwelled in Midbar Zif, because he didn't have just one hideout and one place that he stayed. As part of his strategy to avoid Shaul was to have multiple, you know, right, never sleep in the same bed, you know, two nights in a row type of thing. So he had multiple homes, multiple places where he dwelled. Sometimes he would be here, sometimes there. And that's why Vayivakshehu Shaul kol hayamim, Shaul was seeking him all the days. But whichever one he would come to, he would find it empty. David wasn't there.
He had two places.
At least two, right? Right, you think that if he only had two, it wouldn't be so hard to catch him.
Well, this is sort of connects with the other thing.
Hashem was guiding him.
Yeah.
Right, but still, you know, they could just have two ambushes waiting in the two places.
Protecting him.
Oh, certainly Hashem was protecting him, right? And that's what it says in the Pasuk. V'lo nisano Elokim b'yado. Hashem didn't give him into his hands. He had the protection of Hashem.
Why he was hiding all the prophets and the kings, and they still couldn't find them.
They still couldn't find them.
Yeah, logically, you think that right. He's just going from here to here to here to here to here. It right. Would have been easy.
Pasuk Tesva, Vayar David ki yotza Shaul levakesh es nafsho. And David saw that Shaul had come out to seek his wife. David b'midbar zif b'charsha. And David was in midbar zif in Charsha. Some say that's a forest. So I don't know if this is a different place than Har of Midbar Zif. Right in the last pasuk, it was Vayeshev Bahar b'Midbar Zif. Before he was in the mountain of Midbar Zif, and now he's in the Charsha Midbar Zif, which is a forest. Vayakom Yehonasan ben Shaul Vayelech al David Charsha, and Yehonasan ben Shaul got up and he went to David in Charsha. Vayechazek es yado be'elokim, and he strengthened his hand in God. Gets that in a moment. Just interesting, right? Yonasan is able to find David, so it seems, you know, David could be found by people who he wanted to be found by. Shaul can't find him, but Yonasan is able to find him, and Yonasan does, and he's vayechazek es yado be'elokim. He strengthens his hand in God.
They were forthcoming, but not entirely forthcoming. The Torah reported that he's there, but didn't specific location.
So that's so.
Because they have to report, because to avoid the wrath of Shaul, but they didn't.
Oh. Kind of. Oh well, we'll get to that. There's going to be some, you know, the reporters momentarily. They're going to come tell Shaul, but no. So Yonasan finds David and he's mechazik him. He gives him chizuk. What does he tell him? So he tells him, you know, Hashem is with you. The way the Mitzvah David says it is, he said, you know, Elkim imcha, Hashem is with you. Mayase basar lecha, what can flesh and blood do to you? You have the protection of Hashem. And along the same lines, the Radak says, don't be afraid. Hashem promised you that you would be king. Hashem promised you that you would be king. Then you have nothing to fear. Hashem will protect you. And, you know, it's just noteworthy that, you know, even David HaMelech, some, you know, could use chizuk, you know. You don't think he knew this, right? He didn't know that Hashem was with him. He couldn't say to himself that Hashem promised me, a Navi told me I'm going to be king, so everything will be all right. But still, he needed chizuk. So I guess you see that even the greatest people can use a little bit of chizuk sometimes, a little bit of strengthening, of support, of a reminder that Hashem is with them. Sorry, before that, and he said to him, Al Tira, this is still Yonasan speaking to David, don't be afraid, because Shaul, my father, his hand will not find you. Beata Timloch al Yisrael, you will reign over Israel. Ve'anochi Eya Lecha Mishnah, and I will be your second in command. Vegam Shaul Avi Yodea King, and Shaul, my father, knows this. So, what does Shaul know? Shaul knows that you're going to be king. The rumor's out. The Mefarshim say the word is out that David was anointed in secret, and Shaul knows that you're going to be king, and I'll be your Mishneh LaMelech. I'll be your second in command. Did he say that as a statement, or was it a question? The Radak says he was asking. He was requesting, could I be your Mishneh LaMelech? It's not going to happen in the end. Yonasan is not going to live to be his second in command. But that's what he requested.
It's not phrased as a request, though.
Right. I guess it depends how you read it. It doesn't sound like it, but...
Well, but I mean...
You could have had a word. You're saying you could have had a word, ha'im, or whatever, you know, a question word.
But take a look at the last part of the sentence, and even my father knows it. Knows what?
Right.
If he knows it, right, there's no question.
He knows it's fine.
But it can't be that he knows that he's going to be second in command, because... It can't be that he knows he's going to be second in command, because he's not going to be second in command.
No, but what I mean is, it's not a question, it's a declaration of what his father knows.
No, but that's going back
expects.
On that. He knows that David's going to be king, because he said back with the whole thing with Goliath, so whoever it is going
to... Well, once
that wasn't for king, but...
Yeah, but there's nothing about this entire sentence that...
That sounds like a question.
I agree with that, but you could say that the part my father knows him is going on the first part, that you're going to be king.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what the Mefarshim are saying. Again, I think it's specifically the Radak who makes this into a question. Right, the Radak says, Ani mevakish mimcha she'eya ani mishna lecha k'shtimlach. I'm requesting from you that I should be the second in command. What do others say about that? It's worth pointing out that there is the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, when he talks about the pasuk where Yaakov Avinu gives Yehuda the bracha, lo yasser shevet mi Yehuda, right, that the scepter will not leave from the tribe of Yehuda. So he talks a lot about Shaul and so how could Shaul be king? So I believe the Ramban says because it's only once the scepter comes to the tribe of Yehuda, then you can't have someone from a different tribe. But before that, you could have someone from a different tribe. But he says over there as well that had Shaul not sinned, the ideal situation would have been to actually have these two powers, these two kings in a way, someone from Yehuda being the king, and the viceroy, the Mishnah Amalek, being possibly from the family of Shaul. And so there's...
So it seems like they're dealing better with other tribes than Yehuda.
What?
They're dealing better with other tribes.
Who's dealing better?
Shaul.
Oh, yeah. But that's because Yehuda's going to be the king. Right?
So you need somebody on the representative.
Right, Yehuda's going to be the king, David, and then who's going to be the second? That's the question. It could be someone from the house of Shaul. I think, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think we're going to really see this play out. We don't see that there's ever a viceroy, a Mishnah Lamelech, to the king, as far as I remember. But I guess as we travel through Navi, we'll see, eventually. Okay, Pasuk Yudches, Vayichrisu Shneyem Bris Lifnei Hashem. And the two of them make a covenant before Hashem. Now, they've done this before, Yonasan and David. They're making a lot of covenants together, a lot of deals. Maybe this is the deal for him to be Mishnah Lamelech this time. The Mfarshim say what was unique about this was it was Lifnei Hashem. It was in front of Hashem, meaning they had the Urim Batumim present for this one. Yeshev David Bacharsha, and David continued to dwell in Charsha. The Yonasan halach lebeso, like in the forest, and Yonasan went back to his house. Pasuk Yates. Vayalu Zifim el Shaul hagivasa lemor. And the Zifim went to Shaul in Giva, saying, who are the Zifim? So this is where David is. David is in Midbar Zif. So the Zifim are the people from Zif. Now the Gemara actually has a remez here, and it says that, right, it actually brings two opinions of why they were called Zifim. The Pashuk opinion is because they were from a place called Zif. That's what Reish Lakish says. Rabbi Yochanan says they were Mizaifim. They were forgers, or they were liars, basically. So we'll have to see where we see them tell a lie. But they come to Shaul and Giva, and they say, "Hello, David, mistater imanu v'amitzados b'chorsha." David is hiding with us in the fortresses and the stones in Chorsha, in the forest. B'givas hachachila, in this place, givas hachachila, the hills of Chachila, asher miyamin ha-yeshimon, which is to the right of the Yeshimon. Ve'ata, and now, l'cho avas nafshecha hamelech loredes raid. As is your will, O king, come, v'lanu haskiro biyad hamelech, and we will entrap David in the hands of the king. So I believe the Marsha, maybe, on that Gemara says this is where their lie was. This is where what they were making up. They were claiming that they had the ability to entrap David for the king. It wasn't so. They make it seem like he was, you know, they could just do it and Shaul should come and capture him. And it wasn't so. Okay, like, we'll see. It wasn't so simple. David really does get threatened here.
They were saying they were
going to
capture him, or they were
going to... They would, Lanu Haskiro B'Adamelech, it's on us to hold him for the king, and then you come and get him. So, Shaul is overjoyed by this show of friendship, by Yomer Shaul, and Shaul said, Beruchim Atem LaHashem, you are blessed before Hashem, ki chamaltem alai, because you have had mercy upon me. Okay. So says Shaul continues and he says, "Lechuna hachinu od, go please and prepare more. Ude'u ure'u, you should find out and you should see es mekomo asher tiaraglo, the place where he's going to travel. Nira Osham, who saw him there? Ki amar elai, because he said to me, Aram yarimhu. He's a trickster. So this is a very difficult pasuk to read. Doesn't read so well. Go now and prepare. Hachino od udu uru es mekom asher tiaraglo. You should find out where he's going to be. Nira Osham, who saw him there? Because he said to me, who, I don't know, but he said to me, Aram Yarim, who, he's a trickster. So how do we read this pasuk? There's a couple different ways to read it.
Well, it's very hard to catch David's good ability to get away and sleep.
Right. So the Metudas David says that he was telling them, Hachinu od, you know, be prepared to find out where he's going. You know, du'u re'u es mekom asher tiarago, go find out where he's going to. Because Miro Osham, he says, because who saw him there anyways? Meaning, you haven't actually seen him. You just know that he's there, or you've heard that he's there. So it's not enough, really, for me to get him. You've got to go and find out exactly where he is in order to get him. Ki amar elai. And because he said to me, now who said to him? So this, both the Metudas David and the Radak learn that Shaul is now referring to David himself, because David told me back in the day, he told me that he's a trickster. The Radak says that I asked him, you know, how do you kill all these Plishtim? How are you so successful in battle? And David said, again, how do you protect yourself? And he said to me, Ki aram yarimhu, because I'm tricky. And I have strategy and tricks at war.
Strategy is how Azan sides win, is a pure number.
Right. So that's what David himself told me, that he's a great strategist and he's very tricky. So therefore, you gotta find out exactly where he is, because otherwise he's gonna, you know, he's not gonna be where you think. He's gonna set you up. He's got lots of strategy. That's how the Radak and Metzus David learn here. Rashi says Amar Eli is Misha Amar. Someone told him. It doesn't really say who it was. Just an unnamed person told me that the way that David works is that he keeps moving, he's very tricky, he's always in a different place, he never sleeps in the same bed two nights in a row, etc. That's what my intel has informed me. In any event, he wants them to identify David's exact location. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Ure'u Ude'u, and you should see and you should know, Mikol Hamacha Boim Asher Yischa Beisham. You should find out all the different hiding spots where he might hide. V'shavtem Eli al Nachon, and you should return to me correctly with the correct information. V'alachti itchem, and then I will go with you. V'haya im yeshno v'aretz, and it will be that if he's in the land, V'chipasti yoso, I will search him out, b'chol alfe Yehuda, among all the generals of Yehuda. What does that mean? So he was telling them as follows. He was telling them, find out where all his hiding spots are, okay? And but if he's not in any of those hiding spots, but rather he's left the caves, he's left the forest, and now he's in the land. He's in the land. So where's he going to be? Obviously, he's going to be in Yehuda. That's where he has the most protection. So v'chipastio, so then I will seek him out from among Yehuda. But with I'll ask all of Alfe Yehuda. Right. I guess you could learn it means the thousands of Yehuda. I think I saw someone learn it means the generals.
Aluf.
Right.
Yeah, but that's not what the word is.
Yeah, that's how the Radak learns. The Radak learns that it means the Sare Alpayim. Not right, sorry. It doesn't even, he still learns it to mean thousands. He understands it to mean all the leaders of thousands. That's who I will force them to tell me where he is.
You're speaking to the
Zifim? Yeah. He's laying out his whole strategy here. You let me know where he is, if he's in the if he's in hiding, if he's in one of these hiding spaces. And if he's not, that means he's gone out back to the land of Yehuda. And in that case, I'm going to find him there, B'chol Alfa Yehuda, among, again, you can learn it means among all the thousands of Yehuda. But that may not be such an easy task, just to find
him.
It
might mean troops.
What?
Troops, bands.
The bands.
Bands.
Right, so that's essentially, I think, what the Radak is saying. He's saying the leaders of thousands, meaning, finding thousands of people at a time isn't going, sorting through thousands of people. You need someone who can identify who's among those thousands.
Yeah, in ancient times it didn't actually mean literally a thousand.
Just meant
a troop.
Okay.
Also, Radak says in the class send messengers to Philistine where he hiding, and they come to kill him, and instead it was struck.
What?
That David in the past was telling Philistine where he was hiding so they can come to him, but in reality it was struck. He sent a message himself.
Ah, okay. okay. Pasuk Chaf Dalet by Yokumu. Vayelchu Zifa lifnei Shaul, and they got up and they went to Zif before Shaul. The David va'anasha b'midbar ma'on ba'arava, and David and his men were in the desert of Ma'on in the west, I guess. El Yamina Yeshimon, to the right of Yeshimon. Actually, Targum says it means the south. When it says the right, it means the south. The Yamin means the south. Okay? Vayelech Shaul v'anashav levakesh. And Shaul and his men went to seek David. Vayagidu leDavid. And David was told of what was going on. Vayered hasela. And he went down to some stone, some sela. Vayesheb Midbar Ma'on, and he dwelled in Midbar Ma'on. Vayishma Shaul, and Shaul heard, Vayirdov Achrei David Midbar Ma'on, and he chased after David to Midbar Ma'on. So Shaul is closing in on David. Vayelech Shaul Mitzad Ahar Mizeh, and Shaul went on one side of the mountain. Vidavid Vanasho Mitzad Ahar Mizeh, and David and his men went on the other side of the mountain. Vayehi David nechpaz laleches mipnei Shaul, and David was hurrying. In the word chipazon, he was nechpaz. He was hurrying to go from before Shaul, but it was too late. V'Shaul v'anashav otrim el David v'anashav latafsam, and Shaul and his men made an atara. They surrounded David and his men to grab them. So David is in big trouble. He's surrounded. What's he going to do? So there's an interesting medrash here. The Medrash says that when it says that David was nechpaz lalechas, he was hurrying. The word chipazon. So the Medrash says, Kivan shira David atzmo mitzumtzum biyad shav anashav. When David saw himself being closed in on by Shaul and his men, Hischil Omer, he began to say, Alchina Mashach Osi Shmuel, Shmuel anointing me for nothing. And he said, you're going to be king. It's not true. And that's what the pasuk is that we say in Hallel. David says in Tehillim, Ani amarti b'chafzi kol ha'adam kozev. I said in my haste, Ani amarti b'chafzi, I said in my haste, kol ha'adam kozev. All men lie. Even the greatest of men, like Shmuel, tell lies. That's what I said in my haste when I was running, when I was on the run. Because at that moment, David said, I'm done. I'm trapped. I'm not going to be king. I'm going to be killed. What Shmuel said wasn't true. Shmuel lied.
Shmuel wasn't talking for himself.
Well, apparently he was, because if it was a real Nevuah, then it would happen. Right? It's not going to happen. This is the end. This is the end. That's what David said in his haste. And then, as we'll see, of course, we know that this is not the end of David. David's going to be saved. Hashem says, I'll prove to you that he's Naaman. And we learned a pasuk that said, Vayeda kol Yisrael. All the Jewish people knew, it says, Ki Naaman Shmuel, that Shmuel was to be believed, that Shmuel was true, was a true Navi. So, but this is what David said at this moment of chipazon, when he was rushing here, and that's what he said. Right, just to, it's interesting, again, worth noting, right, we see that not too long ago, Yonasan had to give him chizuk about this very matter, right? Yonasan had to... Yonasan gave him chizuk. What did he tell him? He told him, don't be afraid, you're going to be king. The way the Radak said it was, a Navi said you're going to be king, you have nothing to be afraid of. And that chizuk helped for a time. But now, David's being closed in on, says the Medrash, that's where he said, Ani amarti b'chavzi, David, I guess later recounts, I said in my haste at that time, kol ha'adam kozev, that everyone lies, even Shmuel HaNavi, and I'm not going to be king. But then Hashem sends a malach to save him. So the next pasuk says, U'malach ba el Shaul lemor, and a messenger came to Shaul, saying, Mahara v'lecha, hurry and leave. Kifashtu filishtim al aretz, because the filishtim have spread out over the land. So Shaul is closing in on David. He has David in his grasp. And a messenger comes and says, the filishtim are going wild. You gotta go and deal with them. What kind of malach, what kind of messenger? So was it a person? Rashi says it was a malach mamish. That's, again, the Medrash brings a dispute about this. One opinion says it was Malach Min HaShamayim, it was an angel, and another opinion says that it was not, that it was just a person, a shliach. The Medrash ends up saying, Rabbi Pinchas, who's the opinion that it was a Malach Min HaShamayim, says if it was just a person, just a messenger, then he has a lot of chutzpah. Right? He tells the king, hurry, you know, leave. You know, he's telling him what to do. It's not his job to tell the king what to do. He could tell him what the situation is, but he shouldn't be telling him what to do. Therefore, he says it was a malach min hashamayim. This was an angel. Right, I don't know if it makes a difference. The question is, who would speak this way?
Either way, it was said by Hashem.
Right. Vayashav Shaul Mirdov Achare David, and Shaul returned from chasing. He turned around from chasing after David. Vayelech Likras Plishtim, and he went to greet the Plishtim. So it's an amazing thing, really, you know, that Shaul, it shows Shaul's dedication at the end of the day to his responsibility as king. He's so focused on catching David. He has David in his grasp, but duty calls. He needs to leave to fight the Plishtim, and he leaves. Says the pasuk, "Al kein karu l'amakom ahu sela hamachok hamachlekos." Therefore, that place was called the sela hamachlekos, the stone of splitting, of argument, of portions. That therefore it was called that. Now, not so clear what the therefore is. Because of what it was called that. Why was it called that? What do you think?
Because they were just about to have a civil war.
But they didn't.
Well, but I mean, the stage was set.
Okay, so therefore, since it was almost the place of a civil war, they called it the place
of the
strife. Okay.
So makes sense to me.
Okay. I don't know if I would... Okay, that's fine. So the Medrash
said almost strife with that.
The Medrash says gives three interpretations for why it was called that. Number one, it says that there was a big machlokas there about what to do at this moment. The messenger comes and he says the Plishtim are attacking. So some of Shaul's warriors said, "Ben Yishai, he's in our hands. This, we have him. We can't just abandon him. You know, abandon the mission. We gotta catch him before we leave. Let's take care of business." And some of them would say, "The war, Milchemes Yisrael, the war of Israel, responsibility towards the nation comes first, and." You know, we'll get Ben Yishai another time. Whenever we want, we can come back for him. And that was a machlokis that went on between the troops of Shaul and ultimately the side that said to leave and go take care of responsibility won out. That's one pshat in the Medrash. The second pshat says that the rock actually split in half, right? You had Shaul and his men on one side of the rock, and David and his men on the other side of the rock, and miraculously the rock split in half, and took Shaul away from David, and says the Medrash, that's what David means in the Tehillim when he says Hanosin Teshua La Melachim. That Hashem gives salvation to kings, plural. So which kings is he talking about? He's talking about two kings that Hashem gave salvation to at the same time. Him and Shaul at the same time. He saved David's life, and he saved Shaul from murder. So at the same time, both kings were saved through this miracle. That's the second pshat, that the rock itself was split. And the last pshat was that... that it was a rock on which David's people were split because of the following. It says that this was obviously a great miracle to save David, whatever, however you understand it, right? Even in the simple shot that Shaul is threatening them, and all of a sudden he's called away, right? And David and his men are saved. It's a great miracle. And they make the bracha, Baruch she'asa lines b'makom hazeh. You know, blessed is Hashem for having performed a miracle in this place. So the Medrash explains that when they would pass by this place, they would always say this bracha. When you have a miracle happen to you in a certain place, so you say this bracha. And so the way that what it means, it was a dividing rock, was that only those who were there at that time. Right, this is later now. Whenever they would pass by, so those who were there at that time, those 600 men and David, would get off their horses and they would bow and they would say, Baruch she'asa lanu nisim b'makom hazeh, blessed is Hashem for having performed miracles for us in this place. And but the ones who weren't there at that time, they would not make that bracha. And that's why it was called the Sela HaMachlikos, the stone that split, because it split David's men, that some of them would make the bracha, and some of them would not make the bracha. So to summarize, three pshatim that the Medrash gives why it was called the rock of division, the rock of splitting. Number one, A, because there was division within Shaul's camp of what to do. There was a machlokus whether they should just get David now while they have him, or they should leave and go fight the Plishtim. Number two says that the rock actually split in half and saved David. It's a great fissure formed in between and separated David from Shaul. And number three was it would make a division in David's men when they would travel, that some of them would say the bracha for having experienced the miracle, and the ones who weren't there would not say their bracha, that bracha, and they would remain on their horses. All right, we'll hold there.